Good morning. It's good to be back. It was 2014 when I was here. Wasn't married then. Boy, I'm glad I'm married now. And I would say that even if Pat wasn't sitting there. I would still say that. It's all good, let me tell you. I never thought on the far side of 70 that would happen, but it's great. It's great. And it's glad to be back and to be here with you as everything falls down, but that's all right. We'll get it. I do want to point out a yellow sheet of paper, which we'll need as we get close to taking communion. So you'll need to have that with you so you can get it when we get down to doing communion. But we're here to worship the Lord, and we have been worshiping, and now God's got food for us, doesn't he? Spiritual food. So let's begin. Well, first I'm going to be using Luke 23, verses 44 to 49, so you can open your Bibles to that. And before I begin, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you today and to come at the end of our sermon time and take the bread and the cup, to meet you at the cross and find the forgiveness we all need, to be found again by you. So Lord, we have worshiped you in song and praise, in prayer and in giving. And now, Lord, we pray you'll feed us the bread of life because we need it. Quiet our hearts, our minds. Let us be in your presence. Let us feel your touch upon our lives. May your will be done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke 23, verses 44 through 49. You'll recognize them as what we normally read at Good Friday. It was now about noon, and darkness covered the whole earth until about 3 o'clock, while the sun stopped shining. Then the curtain in the sanctuary tore down the middle. Crying out in a loud voice, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." After he said this, he breathed for the last time. When the centurion saw what happened, he praised God, saying, "It's really true. This man was righteous." All the crowds who had come together to see this event returned to their homes, beating their breasts after seeing what had happened. And everyone who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, observing these things. We thank God for his word today. Amen. Every time I've taken communion, for all the years I've been a pastor, it gets me on a journey. The journey starts in the intimacy of the upper room, where Jesus is with his disciples. They have the Passover meal, and then after everything they think is done, Jesus takes the bread and the cup, takes the bread and breaks it, says, "This is my body given for you." And he takes the cup, he pours it out and says, "This is my blood shed for you." And then it goes from the intimacy of that time to the confusion and the fear of the rest of what we call Holy Thursday, the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, the mock trials, Jesus going back and forth, he's being beaten. And it goes to the despair and fear of Good Friday. And then to that long, silent Saturday, when all they could do was sit and say, "What happened?" And it ends with the celebration of Easter. And I do that every time we have communion. Every time I serve communion, I make that journey. Isn't it nice to live on the far side of Easter because we know how it ends? Isn't that good? Wouldn't you like to be able to yell back across the millennium to those first Christ followers, "Yo, listen up, hey, I know this is the worst Friday you've ever had, but hang in there because Sunday's coming. The first day of the week will be here. Let me tell you what God is going to do on that first day of the week. He's going to blow you away." But what do you think it would be like if we didn't know? What would we be thinking? What would we be saying? How would we be feeling if we were just looking at that cross and thinking, What have we done? I really think it would be along the lines of this. We'd be saying, that wasn't supposed to happen. Don't you think we might be doing that? Not in their wildest dreams did those first Christ followers ever see the cross. This wasn't supposed to happen. Judas misread Jesus. He didn't think this would happen. Pilate, he didn't believe what was happening. He knew Jesus was innocent, and innocent men don't end up on a cross. What about all this kingdom talk? We're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to be free from Rome, right? And it was almost, they could almost touch it. Free from Rome, and wouldn't be surprised if, because we're the closest followers of Jesus, there's some places of prestige and power, you know, for us in it too. This wasn't supposed to happen. Come on now. This wasn't supposed to happen. You know why the cross caught them by surprise? One reason. They were not listening to Jesus. Not really listening. Not really. And they heard the words of Jesus about this day's coming. They heard that. But we all know, don't we, there's a world of difference between hearing something and listening to it, right? We can get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we hear but don't listen. And the wives say amen, and the men say, yeah, you're right. It does happen. Jesus had told them over and over again, get ready for it. It's going to happen. This wasn't supposed to happen. You ever say that about anything? Well, I'm glad I'm willing to admit it. We all say it, don't we, more than we care to admit. This wasn't supposed to happen. You know, we work hard, don't we, to get life in order. We like plans. We like that. You know, we get the ducks in a row. And it ain't easy to get ducks in a row, is it? You get them lined up, and you're going along real good, and all of a sudden, boom, something happens, and ducks are everywhere, and you're saying, this wasn't supposed to happen. And you fill in the blank. What was it that wasn't supposed to happen, huh? What was it? Life catches us by surprise more than we care to admit, doesn't it? Same reason. We're not really listening to what Jesus is saying. Remember what he said about life? You follow me and life is a smooth sailing. Did he say that? I don't remember that. I remember this. In this world and in this life, you will have tribulation of all kinds. Jesus never prayed that you and I would be taken out of this world. He never prayed, Lord, you know, Father, put my followers in some kind of bubble so they don't have to deal with what all those poor sinner folk out there deal with. Jesus prayed this. Father, protect them from the devil, from the evil one. And then he said this, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Amen. I have overcome the world and those tribulations. And we would do well to listen very carefully to Jesus this morning. And as we take the bread and the cup, because once again, Jesus is telling us how to do that. So listen, I'm going to tell you what he said. Listen, this is how it's done. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That is how we overcome the world. That is how we overcome those this is not supposed to happen happenings, you know? You know what made that cross, that first cross, different than any other cross they'd seen? Because they'd seen lots of crosses. Crucifixion was a popular way, helped keep the people in control. Popular way to execute people. It was how the strange words that Jesus said on that cross and his life before on the cross matched. They fit perfectly. Jesus' words and his lifestyle all came together perfectly. All because he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he said that before he was on the cross. Before he was on the cross. You know, we have a problem with these words. You know what it is? We only think about them one day a year on Good Friday. And because of that, we say, well, you know, preach, these are words for dying. Well, yeah, they are. Blessed is the person who comes to the end of his or her life and can say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Blessed is that person, right, who can say that and then step across into the other side with absolute assurance and calmness of heart. But they are words for living too, aren't they? There's no way you and I can live any day of our lives unless we begin that day by saying, Lord, into thy hands I commit my spirit. We better say that first thing in the morning. We might have to say it at noon or even before too. Who knows? But we better begin every day by saying that. Because, Lord, I can't make it through this day unless I commit my spirit to you. Amen. They are words for living. You know, we have to commit ourselves to Jesus as he committed himself to his heavenly Father. And I look at how Jesus did that, and I don't see one little bit he left out. You know? I don't see one little thing that Jesus said, well, you can't go there. He committed himself to Jesus, to his heavenly Father, and a relationship of complete trust and obedience. And we have to do that. And in order to do that, we have to go where Jesus went and do what he did. We have to meet Jesus right at the cross. We have to meet Jesus right at the cross. In John chapter 12, some Greek men came up to Philip and they said, we wish to see Jesus. And Jesus tells them and us how to do it. Here's what he says. Go down to the cross because that's where I'll be. Now, if you want to, take a look at John, what we call verse 26 in chapter 12 of John. Jesus said this, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. Jesus is saying, I'll be down at the cross. Because I left heaven and came down here to go to that cross. So if you want to really see me, meet me at the cross. Meet me at the cross, because that's where I'll be. You know, that's the hidden text of the cross. That's why we feel threatened by the cross. It reminds me that following Jesus and going where he went and doing what he did means that I'm going to have to go to the cross. I don't know if I like that. I'm going to have to go there. But I can't follow Jesus and do what he did and go where he went unless I do that. And it reminds us that it's all wrapped up in sacrifice. Some painful, some not so. Some costly, some not so. But it's all sacrifice just the same. But that's what Jesus did, didn't he? That's what he did. We want to see Jesus. Jesus says, meet me at the cross. Isn't this something how our Lord works? Here's this cross. I mean, It's a symbol, isn't it, of death and suffering. But it's also the only way to life, isn't it? It's also the way to life. You know, Jesus says, meet me at the cross. He says, you know, I came to give you life in the midst of tribulations. I came to give you life in the midst of all those, this was not supposed to happen, things that happen all too often. And life begins at the cross because it's there at the cross we find forgiveness. And life begins with forgiveness, doesn't it? Pastor, theologian, author Kenneth L. Chafin tells of a conversation he had with a friend of his at lunch. And his friend is a psychologist. And he asked his friend when they sat down for lunch, he said, what is the one thing you wish you could do for your clients that is not possible for you to do? And he says, without hesitation, his friend said, I wish I could say to them, your sins are forgiven, for so many people whom I see could manage their problems so much easier if they could find forgiveness for their sins. And I read that and I said, whoa. Whoa. Isn't that interesting? And isn't that true? Life begins with forgiveness. Because forgiveness restores that broken relationship between us and our Creator, in whose image we are made. And until that is restored, you know what? I'm just going through the motions, that's all. That's all we're doing. Not really living, just going through the motions. That's it. Remember the old gospel hymn we're going to sing at the end of the service? Glory to His name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Jesus says, meet me at the cross. And you'll find forgiveness. I don't care what your sins are. You're going to find forgiveness at the cross. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Meet me at the cross, Jesus said, and you'll be made complete. And you're going to find life. The life you were created to live. Okay, I want all of us to get on Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine. Remember Mr. Peabody and his boy Elroy? And how many of you ever played hide and seek? Oh, very good. Hide and seek, kick the can, wiki stick. They're all variations of the same game, you know. When we were kids, we played that a lot because it was free. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of money, any of us, at that age, so anything free was good. And we would usually play it on those long, hot summer evenings when it took forever for the sun to go down. You remember them, do you? Remember those days when we were kids? Remember that? We'd all go home for dinner or supper, whatever you called the evening meal, because when I was coming up, you didn't miss the evening meal, did you? Families ate together. You better have a good excuse if you didn't get there for dinner. And if you didn't have one, you didn't get dinner till you didn't eat till breakfast. Too bad. Shame on you, you know. But we'd go and eat, and then we'd all some find our way back, and whoever was it would start to count to the number that we had agreed upon, and we'd all scatter looking for good hiding places. And I always thought, that guy doesn't know how to count. He's starting to look all too quickly here. But we'd hide, and he'd see some. I see so-and-so under the steps or wherever, and then there'd be a race back to base, and if you was a high D, beat the searcher back, you were safe. Otherwise, you know, you're it. I mean, did you ever find that perfect hiding place? You know, that place where if you stood still, you didn't move your eyes or blink, controlled your breathing, they could walk by just inches away and they'd never see you. Wow. It's so neat not to be found. Sort of. Because let me ask you now, what happened after a while and you still hadn't been found? Everybody else getting found? There you are, still hiding. What happens? All of a sudden you got to scratch your nose. And I see you over there back there, and he'd come back to eat, and you'd be back up, oh man, you found me. What did you really want? What did you really want all along? You wanted to be found, didn't you? Every one of us wants to be found. You know why? Because ain't no fun being lost. Every one of us here has walked on the lost side of life, haven't we? We've all walked on the lost side of life. Some of us walked out there further than others. Some of us stayed out there further than others, longer than others. But we all deep down wanted to be found. Because you know what? When I'm found, it means I belong. And when I belong, it means I don't never going to be lonely again. Ain't no fun being lost. And Jesus says to each of us, child, let me tell you what, I've been looking for you and looking for you. I've been following you here and there and back again. In some places you tarried too long, in other places you just came in and left, whatever. But I found you now, child. meet me at the cross. Let's meet at the cross. And when we meet Jesus at the cross, you know what we're going to say? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus is going to say to you and me, child, now that I found you and now you're here at the cross, I have something wonderful to forgive you. It's called forgiveness. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, I have forgiveness for you. And out of that forgiveness will come a new heart, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. Child, I'm giving you new life. New life. As we take the bread and the cup, we're with Jesus at the cross, aren't we? That's where we are. We're with Jesus at the cross. And let me say, my brothers and my sisters, today, when you take the bread and the cup, let yourself be found by Jesus today, again. Take all those things, whatever they may be, that stand between you and Jesus, and just lay them aside. And we all have them. Maybe it's that little room somewhere. Lord, you know, you can't go into that room. It's ugly. Well, let him in. He'll clean it up. Maybe it's something, Lord, I don't think I can make that. You can do that. Let's lay those things aside and be found by Jesus this morning.